Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Magnificent.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league. Is there another game they play in Australia?
The weekend starts now. This is the call the players listen to. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's. Friday night footy.
And a very good evening, everybody. It's going to be a big game tonight. West Tigers and Penrith Panthers. Panthers, half the team missing, so we'll ask the boys shortly, how does that affect the guys going into this game? I think it puts a lot of pressure on the 6 and 7, but the boys will speak more about that in the course of the evening. MG, welcome to you, and as we welcome him, we've got a rock royalty listening at the moment.
Good evening, Anthony. Good evening, Gerds. Good evening, everyone listening. And one of them listeners has just finished rehearsal. Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets is off to Lamia to see some friends. And Gleeso, love you, brother. Rock on, baby. Let's catch up soon for a couple of beverages. And I hope you can tune in tonight as we call the Tigers and the Panthers, the big cats.
Yeah, he's a great rugby league man. And, I mean, how good, you know, everybody loves Doc Neeson. Of course we do. But how good was Gleeso out in front of the at Angels that night? Must be 7 or 8 years ago at the pub in bloody wherever that was, St. Peter's.
Well, I remember back in, going back to about 92, I think, early 92. Up in Newcastle, I went up there to play the Knights, and Chief took me back to a party. And at that party was Dave Gleeson, and we partied all night with him up there, and we've been partying ever since.
Yeah.
And he's a champion man. We love him lots here at Triple M, and great to hear he's in town.
Yep, good to know you're listening, Gleeso. Take it easy on the roads. Ryan Girdler, welcome to you.
Hello, Anthony. Hello, everyone. Hello, Gleeso. It's been a while, brother. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. Should have come in. But, guys, let's start with some other matters pertinent to rugby league. We do it for Ream and for Maccas. And just to start off with, well, let's talk about last night, because Dufty carved up the Broncos. That's one issue. But, Gerds, the other issue is how many points the Broncos can leak. I got to say, I enjoyed that game last night, because for the first half, it was try for try.
Well, yeah, I think everyone enjoyed the first half. The Broncos actually started quite well, did the basics right, completed high, got to their kick, scored a couple of early tries and put some pressure on the Dragons. But the problem for the Broncos, and it's been pretty much the same all year, is as soon as there's a little bit of pressure applied from the opposition, they just fall to pieces. There's no resistance. They made a couple of errors. Every time they made an error last night, they couldn't defend it. The Dragons were just able to put points on the board. And then there was just that one Asako moment just on half-time there when they should have gone into the break at 18-all. He just doesn't get the ball, doesn't put it dead. And Dufty comes from nowhere and scores that try. And then after that, came out in the second half, made an error with a drop ball. And then I think he compounded it with a challenge that was denied, and then the Dragons scored on the back of that, and then it was all one-way traffic, and I lost interest after about 57 minutes, the game was well and truly over.
Yeah.
And it was the longest last, half of a game I think I can remember. So another really poor showing from the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gerds and Anth. The first half was compelling. It was a compelling game. The first try from Meade was a well-constructed try, and then you think to yourself, okay, the Broncos have come. They've come to play. But as Gerd said, if this was the three little pigs story, the Broncos' house is made of straw.
Mm.
And it keeps getting blown down. You know, the Melbourne Storm and Penrith are a brick. The rest of the comps in the middle with the twigs, but
that's a lovely analogy.
But at the moment, the Broncos and the Bulldogs, they're straw.
Yeah, they are.
They keep getting blown over just when there's a fresh gale from the Peen River.
See, that's what we could call that, like MG's nursery rhyme. Look at the ladder.
Which P are you?
Yeah, well, next week you can do Goldilocks and the Three Bears, you know?
Yeah, well, they'd be having the cold porridge. They've got the cold porridge.
But, the thing is with the Broncos, I think, and the Doggies, but particularly the Broncos, we did expect MG to see something this year, a little bit in the right direction. Are they as bad as last year? Are they worse? Or are they the same?
I think they're better than last year. I think last year I didn't give them a chance any game I watched them play. I think this time, look, this again, last night, 40 minutes, it was positive. As Gerds mentioned, if it wasn't for that blunder at halftime from Asako, who you've got a feel for. You know, you don't like seeing guys. He made a lot last night. He made a lot of, and you know what? He's going to, you've got to put your arm around him for a while. Because after a game like that, thank God we weren't around when social media was around, because other, you know, if we played a game like that, because he would have been copped last night from supporters, you can imagine. I hope he stayed away from it. Some days you have games like that, you know. Other games he'll set up four tries and kick eight goals, and but unfortunately for him that night, that was a turning point. He should have kicked the ball dead.
Yep.
And then straight after half time, he goes to a captain's challenge and misses that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he had a bad night, and I'm not saying he's the first one ever to have one, or it won't be the last, but that was kind of... They've got no intestinal fortitude, this Brisbane team. They've got no one to say, you know what, who cares if we make a mistake?
Mm.
Who gives a shit? Well, let's get on with it. Bite down this mouth guard and let's get stuck in.
Mm.
Yeah, I was going to say, MG, you spoke about getting around him after the game. What the players should have done, they should have identified on the moment what that moment meant to the team and to that individual player, got around him at half time and said, you know what? You know, if this game turns on that incident alone, this guy's going to be held accountable for the loss.
Yeah, yeah.
We can actually do something about it.
Yep.
And Asako didn't help himself. He came out in the second half, and he's in a position where he's always going to be on the football. He's at fullback. He got the football the first time, the first opportunity the Broncos had in the second half, and he made an error while he was trying to play the ball. So it was all downhill for Jermaine, unfortunately, yesterday. But he's a quality young man. He's a good player, and he'll bounce back. But yeah, he just needs a cuddle and some confidence. And I don't know what Kevy's going to do in relation to their fullback next week and whether or not they're going to rest him. You can't put Milford there. Milford's probably a guy that in the past you might have been able to throw to fullback.
Well, that's what
under the circumstances and the game that he played the week before, it might be a tough call to make as well.
I think the guy who played against him last night would be perfect for them. Dufty.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, this is where I was going to go next, MG. The intestinal fortitude, if that's what they need. Next year they're getting Adam Reynolds. If they can keep trying to chase...
Stags is back too, Tone.
Pardon?
Stags is back.
Yeah, and if Hodgson...
Yeah.
If they could get that Josh Hodgson, if they could get Dufty, if they could get a bit of a spine that's got a little bit of that, you know?
Jaden Sewer they're after.
Yeah.
I know Gagai, I don't think they're going to get him. I think he's staying at the Rabbitohs.
That's the male.
But Sewer, we keep hearing about him. I get the feeling that most players are waiting to see if Hodgson goes.
Yep.
If Hodgson goes, he's just as big a signing as Reynolds, if not bigger. You know, they need another kill. They need someone else before others follow at the moment. And at the moment, like, Fitzgibbon seems to be the one who's coming out of the left field with these signatures. And I think Nicho Hynes will be the tip of the iceberg. I think someone like Finucane might be heading to the Sharks, which Fitzgibbon's... This is the reason they signed him.
Yeah.
You know, we all had a blow up about poor John Morris and the way they treated him. It was unfair. You know, the guy deserved better. And I still think he should be coaching right now. And then said to him, you know, after this year, do you want to be assistant coach with Fitzgibbon?
Yep.
But the way they shunted him was ordinary. But now we see why Fitzgibbon has been given the job, because he can attract players, because he's been in one of the best two systems in the last decade, and that's the Roosters system. Mm. And he's got clout. And that's why players are going to follow him.
All right. Now, we spoke about Matt Dufty. He had an absolute blinder last night, Gerds. And immediately that puts the pressure on the Dragons. Well, supporters saying, why aren't you signing him? But the Dragons coach, Anthony Griffin, comes straight out and say, and I thought it was great that he said, these decisions are not made on one game,
no,
on one aspect of the player. So I think it's good that he stood his ground on that.
Well, firstly, I just think it's a great way, and it's a lesson there for players that, you know, get bad news, because it's all part of the game and how to respond to it and how to take it. And
good,
congratulations,
that's a good call.
For
good
Matt
call.
Dufty to
yes.
get on and did the best thing that he could possibly do now that he knows he's going to be on the market. Well, you know, he's trying to put some zeros on the end of that and also show the fans that he's still going to give his best for the rest of the year. He's a local junior that's come through their system, and he's been a good player for the Dragons for the period of time that he's been there. In saying that, I agree with Anthony Griffin. From my personal opinion, there's something, and I can't always put my finger on it, with Matt Dufty that makes me believe that he's probably not one of the better fullbacks in the competition, and it's probably the most important position on the field these days.
Wow.
And if you look at all the clubs that are having a lot of success and you look at who their number one is, there's certain things, there's certain boxes that they tick. Now, Matt ticks a few boxes, but for mine, he doesn't tick enough boxes either. And I think if the Dragons want to go on and be a real force next year, and they believe that they it's a position, and depending on, you know, the other parts of your roster and who make up certain key positions, Matt Dufty might fit well into another system, but he's not the type of fullback that Anthony Griffin wants. He's after a certain style of player to play that role, and I can understand that. So, yeah, he had his big boy pants on last night, and he said, we're not going to base our decision on that one game. And,
you know,
Dufty came out and made the club look a little silly, but they've got a certain north that they've got a direction that they're headed, and, you know, you've got to give credit where it's due. They're sticking to the course.
All right. Now, the other, of course, thing out of the Dragons last night, MG, was Jack DeBellin's first game back. He got about 25 minutes. How did you see that?
First of all, good to see him back in a first-grade jersey. After the last couple of years of what's been going on, you know, it's been rugby league was when you're in your blood and it's all you do, it's hard to not be with it. And the locals gave him a great ovation, and I thought he was exactly what we thought he'd be, you know, rusty. He missed a couple of tackles that led to a try. He was busy. He tried to be busy. Sometimes his head wanted to be busy, but his body said, we're probably a month away from that, maybe more. But a big bonus for Griffin to have going into the second half of the season, which we're about to embark upon. We've had 12 weeks. We've got another 12 weeks to go. So if Dragons are any chance of making the 8 and staying in the 8, well, having DeBellin in their 17 is a major, major plus.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, MG. I think he's going to change their whole season around. Just some of the subtle touches he had last night. We spoke about him last week and how just when he was sort of taken away from the game changed into a style that really suited the way that he played.
Yeah.
It was probably a little bit before his time where he loved to go into the line, play out the back. And I think we saw half a dozen times last night he just allowed, you know, Hunt on the left and Corey on the right just to play with a little bit more width, because they've now got a 13, the Dragons, that can allow those guys just to stay a little bit wider and get them the football in good positions. He does that as good as any other 13 in the competition. Defensively last night too, he did miss that one tackle for the try. I think Albert Curley went through. But other than that, he's a guy that when he's in the defensive line, the opposition teams try to avoid because his technique's really good, and he always ends up in a positive position and slows down the dominant position. So he's that guy, and you could see last night just some of the angles that when the Broncos guys were running it, if DeBellin was there, they'd sort of move away from him. So he's going to tick a lot of boxes for the Dragons moving forward.
All right, boys, it's Triple M NRL. It's Friday night, our game tonight. West Tigers taking on the Penrith Panthers. Obviously, the Panthers are minus 6 or 7 players. So we talk about how they go with those players missing and Burton coming into halfback to partner Tyrone May. So we'll get more discussion about that game shortly, but it should be a beauty tonight. West Tigers and Penrith, and also Canadian club, the Bad Sweater is back, and it's badder than ever before. You guys got a bad sweater, didn't you?
They're not bad at all.
You like it?
Oh, they're actually quite stylish. We look like Dumb and Dumber, but we look like Jim Carrey and his mate. But
Lloyd Christmas.
But they're warm.
Yeah.
Are they?
Oh, they're warm. They've got a little turtleneck. And
yeah. Well, I can see you getting around Penrith. You've got one. Spook's got one.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Coxie's got one. Toby.
Charlie Sheen. Toby from just call it Toby Hyundai now.
The whole gang have got
them. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, we're the Archies.
That's a big bad gang in Penrith. Canadian club, the Bad Sweater is back, and it's badder than ever before. Triple M rocks the footy. We're back after this.
Triple M's NRL primetime for Canadian club. Over beer? Well, Canadian club wants to stock your fridge.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Yeah, we've got about, just over half an hour to kick off this game. Such an important one, and important for different reasons, MG and Ryan Girdler. So, obviously, the Panthers, from a ladder point of view, Girds, they don't need to win, but I think it puts a lot of pressure on these 6 or 7 blokes that come into the lineup because, you know, they don't want to lose that record on their watch.
No, that's a fair assessment, Roon, but, you know, you could... I mean, it's not an excuse. They've got 7 players in Origin and they've got 1 player in Leota that's out suspended who was probably knocking on the door as well. So they've got 8 quality first graders out tonight. So there's reasons behind. If they were going to going to go on to lose, but they've got some pretty handy replacements coming. As you mentioned, Mitch Kenny, he's played half a dozen games, and they've all been good ones so far this year for the Panthers. I think the biggest concern will be those combinations in those key positions. Tyrone May hasn't played a lot of seven, comes on, plays a little bit in the half sometimes, a little bit of dummy half. But his combination tonight with Kenny's key, their kicking game, all those small things that they need to get right that they do on a weekly basis just will be the things that they'll be focusing on, and so will the Tigers, just trying to put pressure on those guys to come up with those plays at the right time. That'll be their focus. But even though they've got those players out, yeah, they really test out their depth tonight. But when you look at the lineup, MG, I mean, gee, it's not a bad one, is it, considering?
It's fantastic. When you've got Scott Sorensen, who played, you know, 14 games for the Sharks last year in first grade, you've got Eisenhuth, who's playing against his old club at lock forward. Tyrone May and Matt Burton, you mentioned them. Momorowski, who started the season on fire. I can't find any faults except for experience. And obviously Brian Toto has been one of them out-of-the-box performers this year, and that's where they're going to miss tonight. They go forward early. Especially James Fisher-Harris, who's been one of the biggest beneficiaries of Tottle going forward, and kick out. Because what happens when you've got a winger like that, that makes your job better because you don't have to run back as far from the kick. They bring it to you, the wingers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So instead of running 40 metres back, you're running 20 metres, 25 metres back as a forward. So you're saving energy all the game. That adds up to an explosive run or an explosive tackle, and that's all because of Brian Tottle. They're going to miss him tonight more than anybody. Obviously, Nathan Cleary's going to be missed, but I think Tyrone May and Burton will handle that part of the job. It's just going to be interesting to see what the Tigers throw at the Panthers tonight. Are they going to try and out-muscle them? Are they going to try and out-enthuse them? Because I don't think that'll happen. I don't think they'll out-enthuse them. They might out-muscle them, but then they've got James Fisher-Harris as captain tonight. He wants to make a point.
All right, and what do you know about these two blokes that we haven't seen a lot of on the Panthers bench? 16 is Lindsay Smith and 17 Isaac Tago.
Young boys from the local area, St Mary's Juniors, my old club, which they're just starting to be the production line of the West. Brothers are starting to be another big club in the Western Suburbs, Michenbury, where St Clair, where a lot of these boys have come from as well. The Penrith Junior Rugby League is just bigger and stronger than ever. And these two guys are from the St Mary's production line. They get their chance tonight, which is an amazing thing. A couple of weeks ago, the man joining them, Jermaine Hopgood, I think he's a Queensland boy, come down. He made his debut up there at Magic Round. So, yeah, look, again, one door closes, and that is opportunity. I think that's one of the better things, Gerds, about these Origin in inverted commas rounds. And I think that's probably why I haven't got the goosebumps yet about Origin, because it seems like yesterday we had it.
Yep.
It seems like yesterday we were in Adelaide,
yep,
and then we went to Brisbane, and then it was in November.
Yep.
Usually we wait 12 months for Origin. Now it's 6 months.
Yep.
So it's different.
Mm.
I think Monday, when Monday comes around after these four games are played, we'll start getting the butterflies and start feeling about, you know, these, how it's going to unfold. But I think one of the better things about the disrupted rounds is that these young guys ordinarily get a chance. You know, this weekend, Preston Campbell's son makes his debut for the Titans.
Yeah, that's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have happened unless AJ Brimson was in camp. So when one door closes, another door opens, or vice versa, and I'm really intrigued by these rounds, and I think it's a great opportunity for these young kids to show us what they got.
Okay, well, Tigers, Ryan, they're not terribly affected by losing players to Origin, and you don't have to go through the facts and figures to say, well, the Tigers this year, you know, they have a good week, two bad weeks, a good week, two bad weeks. But I feel like when I look at them on paper, they've got a lot of players like that. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me. But this is a real opportunity for them to get away from the bottom of the ladder. They've only won four games this year.
Well, you look at Penrith, you know, most sides will look at the good clubs and see when they play them throughout the year. And generally, you know, you're never too sure whether you're going to get the victory or not there. There's other games you look forward to, you know, taking those 2 points and potentially building your season off. This is a game when you see that you're playing Penrith and they're missing so many players. It's a massive opportunity.
Oh.
It's an opportunity that the Tigers, they need to take tonight. There's no excuses for them whatsoever. It's Leichhardt. There's going to be a big crowd there. The opposition's missing a lot of representative players, and you're in good form. You know, you spoke about their win-loss, 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 the way that they're going about their season, but last week's win against the Dragons was convincing. They were really good. They did the small things right. Their combinations worked really well. That's what impressed me. Luke Brooks seems to have really settled with the combination of Liddell and Mbai. It was a big call. Dane Laurie just gives them that little bit of spark out the back of shape. Roberts was good on the wing. So, you know, they've got some real quality there. Leilua, he got a quarter break through the week. He avoided suspension. He's been a big part of their last couple of seasons. Garner's in nice touch. So they're not missing too many players. It's an opportunity tonight the Tigers find themselves in, coming up against, you know, one of the premiership favourites, heavily under strength. They need to take that opportunity tonight. They need to grab with both hands and make it happen somehow.
A lot of talk through the week, MG, about Michael Maguire trying to get Dallin Watini-Zelezniak to the club. And that seems odd in a time when the Dogs are trying to rebuild their roster, that they would be prepared to let him go.
Yeah, I what do they say? If you got a player who doesn't want to be there, the point of having him there?
I think it's a financial thing, MG, to be honest. I think he got signed on massive coin to go across there.
I think he's on like about 800 grand last year at the Doggies.
He went over there on fullback money. He is playing fullback at the moment. There's probably parts of his game that they feel that Trent Barrett probably wants someone with a little bit more ball-playing ability to play out the back, which is understandable. So, if you know, I think he's a wholehearted player. He runs as hard as anyone else in the competition.
No doubt.
And he plays every week and he always puts in.
Do you think he's a winger or a fullback?
Well, I think, you know, he's a winger because he probably just doesn't have the ball skills at this point in time. Not that they can't be developed, that a fullback needs to possess. So, and they've got Dane Laurie.
He's
in great touch.
Everyone keeps forgetting that he's a rookie this year.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about Sam Walker and Reece Walsh and
well, how many games did he play for Penrith last year, Dane Laurie?
I think maybe one.
A couple of interchange
One or
games.
Two. Yeah. Interchange.
Might have started a couple of games.
And this year he's had 12 in a row for the Tigers.
Yeah.
He went there, I think just for an opportunity. And now he's been one of the real bright sparks of their season. Absolutely. I love the way he plays.
Brilliant to watch.
Absolutely. Boys, we're about half an hour away from kickoff here. Leichhardt Oval, a beautiful, clear night in Sydney.
It reminds me of the MCO Cup when I watch it at night.
Oh, didn't you love the MCO Cup?
Tell our younger listeners what the MCO Cup was.
Well, youngsters, the MCO Cup was a thing that was around in the mid-70s, the mid-80s, maybe a bit longer, and it was a midweek competition, had nothing to do with the regular season. So you'd go to this midweek cup. For 1 year there,
you'd have country teams, you'd have Brisbane country teams.
Yeah, you'd have Brisbane club teams, you'd have Riverina and Western Division and Central Queensland, and it was awesome. And
Every Wednesday night,
and it was quarter football, not half football. And Rabs used to call it as a younger man. Rabs
was it a knockout format? Was it?
It was kind of a knockout format.
It was a knockout format.
Yeah, but I remember 1 year at my mob won it, 1981. We won the AMCO. My father was so excited; he was so happy
in the minty jerseys.
Yeah, we went to dinner at Flanagan's Afloat, which was back then was so fancy.
Well, remember the 73? I think it was a TV Ted Elry. Western Division beat Penrith.
74.
Yeah. So it was where dreams were made. I remember playing it in 88 and we played against this Brisbane team.
Yeah, right.
Brisbane City team, they were called. And they had Wally and Dowling. And it was just, it was a fantastic concept. Obviously, we'll never go back to it. But who knows the way the things change in our game.
Yeah, well, they're talking about some big pre-season thing next year, not mids. But, I mean, it was one of those comps, the AMCO Cup, where often the mid-table teams would win the comp.
Because they'd stack their teams.
Yeah. So it was great. It was awesome if you loved your rugby league. And then after the AMCO Cup, the AMCO Shield would come on, and that would be the late John Brennan calling that game.
And that was played actually before the game, but they'd play it after it. So all the schoolboys you'd see.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. Great days. Anyway, boys, we could gibber on for hours, and no doubt we will. But, of course, remember when it comes to Canadian Club, you get the bad sweaters are back. The Canadian Club bad sweater is back, and it's badder than ever before. For Ream Maccas, we are doing Triple M NRL. We're about 28 minutes away from kickoff. Tigers-Panthers as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M's NRL Primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. We've only got, 24 minutes away till the kickoff. Tonight's game is the Tigers and Panthers. And I reckon it's going to be a cracker, right, MG?
I think it's going to be a cracker, but I wanted just to touch on something quickly. I know Gerds wants to have a chat about the Queensland Origin team in a sec. a betting agency today cashed out on all bets on Penrith, who, if they bet on Penrith at the start of the year to win the comp,
yeah,
they're paying you. They're paying it.
Really?
They're paying it
to win the premiership.
Paying out. So if I had $5,000 on Penrith to win at $4 in January, they're going to pay me. They're that confident Penrith will win the comp.
Well, but what's
they've got that much money.
Well, both.
Or their business is going so well.
Well, good luck to them, but gee whiz.
Big statement.
I hope it's not a bit of a, you know, the voodoo doll.
Yeah.
That seems an odd thing to do. I mean, I don't follow the betting that much, but, you know.
Well, it is. It's very odd.
Yeah.
Because it's 12 weeks to go. And there's a lot can happen in 12 weeks.
Absolutely. We're halfway through.
There's a lot.
We're in the middle
happen.
Of Origin. A million things could happen. There's Melbourne. There's still Melbourne.
Well, exactly right.
You know?
Get into the grand final and who knows what...
if Manly get there unscathed with Tommy Turbo in their team. Like
twists and turns around the corner.
Well, boys, let's talk a little bit about Origin while we get a chance. I've just been looking at some of our notes that we've been sending each other across the day. And the first one is that we've got one here from you, Ryan, of these tents that they've set up in Townsville.
The tents? Yeah. What about the tents? Oh. Basically that was around the fact that you couldn't find accommodation. Yep. I was in here last night with Charlie. He said Maroon's in a spot of bother.
Right.
He's got all these corporate cash gigs up there in Townsville.
Of course.
So he's got to go up there.
Yeah.
But he's got nowhere to stay. Does anyone want to billet him? So last night on the show, we're going to actually put out a solicit for who wants to billet Maroon in Townsville. Mm. The phones went crazy, of course, and we thought, well, maybe you weren't up for that. So apparently there's a couple of local... of the cricket clubs and whatever it may be that have come out and set up safari tents on the cricket ovals, and they're charging their people for some accommodation. So we might look at getting you one of those safari tents.
Well,
you're not much of a camper, I know.
No.
But it's like glamping.
Yeah, look, I don't know about
that. So it's like that movie Blended. Blended.
What's that one? I haven't seen that one.
Have you seen that one? No. They go to South Africa. Adam Sandler and what's the girl in E.T.?
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore. Yeah, they have like their families become blended.
Right, okay.
And they live in like a tent.
Right, okay. No, I don't think.
Did you get accommodation? How did you go?
Well, I got a bloke up there practically runs Townsville. Wade Kiers is his name, and he said, "Look, leave it with me."
Are you like a gangster that we don't know about? Have you got criminal connections?
No, I'm not.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm just good at leveraging up with people that can get things done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, fair enough.
So anyway, he just said, "Let me make a couple of calls." Bang, bang, bang. You're at the
Dick Lang
at the the commercial hotel.
Commercial.
The Commonwealth Hotel.
That's it.
The Commonwealth Hotel in South Townsville. Mm. So I'll just jet in, and I'm doing a gig for NRL. Hello to Tyson and everybody. We're going to do a gig up there for the NRL. And
who's your guest speaker?
I haven't looked at the run sheet as yet, but I'm sure we'll know him and love him.
Nah, it just looks at the figure. Yeah, doesn't know what he's got to do. Just looks at the number.
Just got to be there on time. Prepare to fail, fail to prepare. I mean, fail to prepare to fail. That's how I look at it.
No, it's going to be a good couple of days up there, isn't
Absolutely.
It? You're just going up overnight?
I'm just going up overnight. You know, I had a rort for a couple of years. For a few years, I left Triple M, and I was working at this awful radio station.
Why'd you leave?
Well, they just said go.
Oh, right.
And I was working at this awful radio station called Vega with some of the greatest wombats in the history of radio. But while I was there, I got a gig in Townsville calling the Cowboys game. So I used to go there every other week.
Skiffalidi, wasn't it?
No, it was with, I think Skiff was involved for a while there.
Laurie Spooner.
Yeah, it's a while back now. Anyway, so I know Townsville pretty well. I got a lot of friends up there. So
the sugar shaker.
Yeah, the pepper. Some people call it the pepper shaker, the sugar shaker.
Sugar shaker.
Mad Cow, of course, is famous up there.
Mm. Well, anyway. We've kind of been threatened by our coaches. They say, look, we know that you like to go to North Queensland because it's always a good night out.
Yep.
Pubs everywhere. The locals are fantastic. You get free drinks if you're there, but unless you win. You pack your gear, but you don't be going out.
Yeah.
And so you say to everyone, boys, come on. This is one game we've
got. It was good, though, in the 90s. They were struggling. They were in a building phase.
Yeah.
So you used to go out there and had a fair bit of success. So.
Yeah, no.
On the field, of course.
Well, they came in 95, didn't they? 95.
Yeah, 95.
With us, the Reds, and with Warriors, and with...
Crushers.
The Mariners?
The Crushers.
When did Mariners... that's what was Super League.
Yeah,
the
Rams, Super League, yeah.
Yep.
So, but, mate, yeah, look, it's a great part of the world. It's real rugby league heartland. And as you know, when you get there, when the Cowboys play up there, this is why they play so many late Saturday night games, because people come from 500K away to watch them. Now, they're true supporters.
They are.
And the place is chockers, and it's going to be great to have Origin there. But let's talk about the game itself. Who wins it? Because, I mean, it doesn't matter. We seem to think, Gerds, that every year, player for player, we've got the wood on Queensland, but it never seems to end that way.
Well, the bookies think so. I think we're about $1.57, which I find hard to believe, given the fact that, you know, we are playing Queensland.
You know what, Gerds? If it was in Melbourne, I could understand it.
Yep.
But having this game in North Queensland, where I think that's worth at least 6 to 8 points for them.
Well, look what happened in Game 3 last year. I mean, you know, we know what the fans mean to the Queensland team, and they certainly their call to arms when needed during the game. You can feel it when you're on the ground. So it's definitely an advantage for the Queensland side. Look, they're two really even sides. I would say that Queensland probably feel like they have a little bit of an advantage through the middle of the field, but we've picked a side to sort of play a little bit more expansive. The game, we've seen that over the past. Definitely the start of this year, the game's become a little bit more expansive. So we've got some really good club combinations and some guys that are in form. Freddie likes to go with guys that are in form. He's done that on this occasion. There's some injuries there that have allowed other people to get an opportunity. I like the fact that there's people questioning, you know, Tarek Sims' selection, because he's the kind of guy that responds to that.
Exactly.
I think he's a big game player, and I think he'll enjoy going out there and proving that he deserves his spot. So look, it's a toss of a coin, but I obviously going to tell you that I think New South Wales can win if they go out there with the right mindset and they play a style that suits them, and they're allowed to play with that expansive nature. We're not sure. Queensland always concern me, the form of Fasua Malawi in last year's series and Christian Welsh, the way that they lead that Queensland pack around and they drive the line speed is always makes it difficult for the playmakers for New South Wales, but I think we can get the job done, MG.
Yeah, we all know that games aren't won on paper, and New South Wales have the three best players in the game as we speak, in you know, Tedesco, Turbo and Cleary. Last year, Latrell and Tommy Turbo didn't play. This year they are. That's where I think we'll win.
Okay, what about some
key matchups?
Yeah. What about for Queensland? Who do you like? Munster?
Oh, Munster scares me.
Munster's the man.
Man. Val Holmes on his home deck.
Yep.
Up there. Kyle Felt up there on his home deck. I've loved the form of Capewell for Penrith. Like, last year in Origin in Adelaide Oval, we got thrust in the semis. We went, what?
Yeah.
Penner?
Yeah, he tore him apart.
He looked like G Miles.
Yeah.
You know, it was. Yeah. I think New South Wales have a way superior bench. I think with Whiten, Paulo, Haas, and Liam Martin, I think we supersede theirs. But saying that, Harry Grant at number 9, he worries me. He's fully fit. AJ Brimson coming off the bench when the middle of the forward packs are tired. It's going to be hard. Really interesting to see what type of brand of footy Freddie plays. Does he give the ball to the Penrith boys and go, you know what? Why stop something that's not broken?
Mm.
You guys have done something that's exceptional and astonishing and extraordinary for the last year and a half. Rub your salt onto these guys, their little magic dust.
Yeah.
Does he try and thwart that, or does he let them do their thing? And I don't know, Gerds, what the answer is, because I know that the Origin's a different beast. And I also know, but if you try and stop guys like Jerome Luai from being his freestyle self,
yep.
No point having him there.
I think he needs to do that. I think the way that he's built that team with Luai, Cleary, and more importantly, Yo, who provides, you know, the Penrith playmakers the opportunity just to play with a little bit more width.
Yep.
He's got such a great all-round game, Isaiah Yeo. He's got a great understanding of when to run, when to pass. Defensively, he's a leader. And I'm really glad they went with him at 13. I thought they might have picked Jake there. Obviously, Cameron Murray is another guy that might have pushed for the 13. I think that might have made it really a lot more difficult for New South Wales to play with the width that I think they need to play with to beat this Queensland side. That's why I also thought Appy might have been a really good chance to play at number 9 just for those subtle combinations around the ruck. But Cookie's obviously done a good job there in the past. But the interesting part about the New South Wales side is you've got Cameron Murray's going to play on an edge, probably the right edge. Now, he doesn't play on an edge that often. The guy's capable, more than capable of handling it, but it's not something that he does on a regular basis.
No.
So what sort of influence can he have in the contest? And the other one is Jake Dubojevic, who generally plays a 13 role where he likes to go to the line and play out the back. Now, you've got Yo that does that, so you need Jake to just sort of tuck it under his wing a little bit more on Wednesday night, which he's more than capable of doing, and he's a smart footballer, so he'll follow instructions. But is that the best part of Jake's game? Not too sure. So Freddie's obviously got a plan. Let's see how they execute it on Wednesday.
Just quickly on Jake, I think one of the best games he's played in the last two or three years was when he was front row in Perth in the Origin. He played a full game at front row.
Yeah.
I think when he's playing lock forward of late, well, before his brother come back, I think he was a little bit guilty of overthinking his role, trying to be too much like a 5'8", and thinking, okay, well, he's not here, he's not there. Instead of just worrying about your own game, when Jake plays footy,
yep,
the whole team plays footy. And I think if he's front row, he can still do this, the offload, he can still play before the line. In fact, I'd encourage it if I was Freddie.
Yep. And the other thing, MG, I guess, is do they start that way when you've got Paulo and Haas on the bench, guys that, you know, generally do like to start and are great for that, you know, that opening 20 minutes?
I think one of them might. I get the
feeling that one of those guys might push up and Jake or Daniel Saifidi might go back to the bench. The other thing Freddie needs to focus on somehow is getting the ball to those guys that you mentioned, Trbojevic and Latrell out in the centre.
Early ball.
We just can't have those guys.
And do you have that when you've got such entertainers inside of them? There's the kind of the scales trying to tip.
But you look at Matty Burton, the ball, the quality ball that he gets off Luai on a regular basis on weekends, that's the good thing. The good thing that Luai has to his game. He's got balance. He understands when he needs to run and when the guy outside him needs the ball. So if he can get some nice, clean, early ball to Latrell, he's going to be a handful, obviously.
Well, boys, you're both sounding a little bit like ex-New South Wales Origin players. You're both sounding, I've got to say, a little bit biased. Now, look at this Queensland side. What happens, MG, if Fifita and Fasua Malaawi get out there early and start punching holes in blokes?
Well, it's danger. It's danger. Like, look, no doubt. I never underestimate the maroon jersey. Look what happened last year when, you know, they were called the worst team that was ever played. Yeah, that was kind of like bees to honey. You know, that's exactly what they want to hear. They want to hear that type of thing, and that's so. I don't want to give, as ex-players, we don't want to give anyone any incentive to put things on the wall that people say, and that's what happens. But honestly, that's Origin. I don't believe New South Wales should be so short. I think Queensland on their day, DCE is a fantastic player. You know, he's had a bit of drama of late. People talking about him being the one that wanted to, you know, oust Peter Vlahidis. He's since come out and said that wasn't me. And so how's that going to affect his preparation going into Origin? But, yeah, look, this young Fotowaker off the bench has been fantastic for the Titans over the last few weeks. Tino Fasua Malaawi up in the front row. Yeah, Jai Arrow in the front row. Well, that's going to be intriguing. How do the forwards, after what's happened to Teddy in the last game last year up there at Suncorp, after... And I've gone on record as saying I don't think Arrow knew he was knocked out. I think Arrow was on the field for 5 seconds. He was the blood was flowing. Teddy had his back to Arrow. He was KO'd and he lifted him up.
It was reckless, but it wasn't intentional.
I don't think so, Gerds. I don't think so. So how much will Freddie want his forwards to go after Jai Arrow?
All right, boys. In a word, who wins? 99.9% of the crowd is Queensland. It's in Townsville. Who wins Origin?
The Blues.
What about you, Gert?
I'm going to go with New South Wales.
Okay. Let's take a break, boys. We're going to come back. And, of course, before I do that, State of Origin is live on the Triple M network, right across the network or on the Listener app. Dan will call it for you. So if you've got to work, you're in the car, you've got to listen to it rather than watch it. This is where you should be listening to it. As Triple M rocks the footy, we're back with kickoff right after this.
Triple M's NRL primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.